The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Nonprofit Notebook with Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties, and I am Janice Valentino, your host. Well, I just would like to say welcome, June, to everyone. I think that we've all been looking forward to this season now that's coming upon us. We're looking forward to summer and really enjoying what the Hudson Valley has to offer. I am so thrilled to say that I have a wonderful guest with me this morning, and it's also the first in-studio guest that I've had in over a year. So I am so thrilled to have her with me today. Her name is Regina Clark. Hello, Regina.
Hello, Janice. It's so nice to be here. And it's so nice to see your face.
Oh,
right?
I know. It's so nice to see your face. Regina Clark is going to be on the show with me today. And this show is dedicated to our veteran program and to all of our veterans. We take care of many, many veterans at the end of life. Regina had a personal experience with this, and this is what we're going to talk about. I really want to dedicate this show to our veterans who we love, we honor, and we respect. And it's a great opportunity to be able to speak to someone who has the experience of what we can offer. One of the things, though, I do want to say is congratulations, Regina.
Well, thank you.
For people that do not know, and I did not know this until she told me a couple of days ago, Regina is now the new executive director of the Goshen Chamber of Commerce. Is that right?
That's right. Brand new. So I kind of threw my hat in the ring, and I've lived in Goshen for 30 years. And, after COVID, I started to rethink a lot of things, and I thought, well, why not? We'll see how that goes.
Yes.
So I could have never said yes, except for the fact that I'm a Goshen resident, right? I've been there for a while.
Yes. Yeah. So you know the town.
I know the town,
and
the village.
You certainly know business.
I do. I know a lot of people personally. I raised my family there, which is nice, right? So I have a lot of ties to the schools and the businesses and the people, and I think that's what's going to really help me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But you also have your own business.
I do.
Yes.
I do.
And that is, I know I had written it down here. Say it again.
So for the past 30 years, I've been the founder of Creative Performance Solutions.
Yes.
And I provide training and keynote speaking. And when COVID hit, right, a lot of that went away. But I'm still doing a lot of webinars.
Yes. Yeah, I have it written right here. Creative Performance Solutions, LLC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you if you had this business when I first met you, but I first met you probably about 13 years ago.
In Leadership Orange, right?
Leadership Orange, yes. And you were one of the presenters.
Right.
That's the first time I met you.
Yeah. It's so funny because I think it was a good 15-year period that I spoke to Leadership Orange classes, right, in Orange County, always a way to give back. And I'm kind of aging myself. So Richie Lay was an executive director way back when, before Carolyn Osborne. And it's just a great program, right? Just the other day, I was telling somebody about Leadership Orange and they should join. And then my youngest son actually went through the junior Leadership Orange when he was in eighth grade.
That's great.
Right? So,
yes.
Again, another kind of well-kept secret, the junior program.
Right. And we are going to talk about the veterans, I promise. But just getting back to Leadership Orange, I was in the first program that Carolyn Osborne had taken over. And for years before, Richie Leahy had kept saying, you know, are you going to come? Are you going to come? And,
yeah.
But finally, I had the opportunity. And I'm going to say that I had been working for many, 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 many years in Orange County and in the Newburgh area. But once you go into Leadership Orange, you learn more things than you can even imagine. Things you had no idea about.
That's right, about the county.
Yes, yeah. And wonderful people that you're able to keep ties and relationships with.
Right.
And that's
right. I think that's the gift.
We started.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm so thrilled about that. Well, we're going to talk really about our veterans, and I think it's very, very, it's very timely, of course, since yesterday was Memorial
mm-hmm.
Day,
mm-hmm.
and it was Memorial Day weekend, and a lot of people, and I'm going to say, I noticed this a lot on Facebook, because, of course, this is the way that we kind of communicate. A lot of people really, really felt that we need to get back to the real importance of Memorial Day. And not just keep it as or perceive it as a three-day weekend.
And a shopping day, right?
Sales. And a shopping day. It is something that needs to be revered.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. And, you know, it's a tough weekend for a lot of people. It's
yes.
a sad weekend for a lot of people. You know, and I remember my dad. I mean, we'll talk about my dad in a moment, but
yes.
he had two brothers, and they all served. One was in the Marines. One was in the Air Force. Actually, one of my uncles was a chaplain in Vietnam, and then my dad was in the service, and he always said his mom was so proud of their service. All
yes.
of her sons served. Right now, none of those folks are with us any longer, but yeah, it's a really important weekend.
It is, and for some reason, I really got the feeling that this year, It was looked at very differently. I just saw a lot more respect, a
mm-hmm,
lot more
mm-hmm.
honor, really getting back to the fact that we owe a debt
sure.
of gratitude.
Yeah,
beyond
sure
even those words.
Yep.
To the many, many veterans who fought for our country and for our freedom.
Selflessly, right? Just selflessly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And because a lot of these men and women, you know, did what they did many, many years ago. Over time, through hospice, right, we take care of people at the end of life,
mm-hmm.
which does not mean last breath.
Right.
Does not, and we're going to talk about
right.
that, because Dad,
yeah.
Dad was with us for far longer than you thought
yes.
he was going to
yes.
be. But it's really about the last chapter of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know any book you can pick up, every chapter has different pages. We don't
right.
know how long that's going
right.
to be.
Right. And I think that's a common misconception about hospice. I mean, people
Absolutely.
Still today
oh,
really,
to this day.
Really think, like, I've got 24 hours left. Let me call hospice.
Let me call hospice. Well, we have to call hospice now. You know, there's nothing else we can do. So now we're going to call hospice.
Right.
And for the past 13, 14 years, my job has been to try and educate people.
Right.
And the entire hospice platform, you know,
right.
we have always been trying to educate people. But I really believe now, more than ever, people are really starting to understand
mm-hmm.
what we do and how we add quality of life.
Well, you know, let's face it. I mean, nobody really wants to think about hospice, right? Nobody wants to think about the end is near
no.
and the end is
right.
coming almost until it's too late, right? And you
yes.
really need that patient advocate to reach out and to really start educating themselves about what's out there. You
about
know, what is
yeah.
palliative care? What's
Absolutely.
What is hospice?
Absolutely.
And not every patient, not every elderly person or dying patient has that really strong advocate to kind of go out and learn and discover and collect information. And
that's right.
Hospice is a blessing, right?
And absolutely.
You know, in my family, we were just so lucky. We were so lucky. We was, you know, right now when I think back, I'm just so proud of all of the things that we were able to accomplish. But hospice was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really phenomenal.
I have to say that I honestly, within the past year or so that we've been dealing with this pandemic,
mm-hmm.
more and more people, families, started to look at hospice as a real alternative and saying, you know what, wait a minute, maybe we should look into hospice.
Right.
And over the past year or so, our census has truly risen to a place that I don't even think thought that we would get
wow.
to this point. We are hiring people all the time, and we are taking care of more and more people in our community, and we are just, we're so blessed.
That's great to hear.
We're so blessed, and the families are being blessed.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. But the important thing that we wanted to talk about today are the veterans that we're taking care of at the end of life. And years ago, there was a very, very high amount of World War II veterans that we were caring for. That has dwindled down a little bit. Now we're seeing more Korean War. Yes, and even, you know, Vietnam. But we still are seeing some World War II, as your dad was. We just feel that it is so important to recognize and to honor our veterans. And so our organization is what we call a level five. We have a level five partnership with a program that was put together by the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization and the Veterans Administration.
Okay.
The VA, the Veterans Administration. And it's called We Honor Veterans.
Okay.
The We Honor Veteran Program. And we have been part of this program probably for the past, I would say 13, 14 years. And we now have reached, through all of the work that we've done and all the accreditations that we have received, we are now at the highest level, which is level five.
Great.
And every year we have to continue to do certain things to make sure that we stay at that level, because it's very important to be working at the highest level we can, providing our veterans with what they need.
With what they need.
And one of the things that we do, besides, of course, the care and the training that all of our clinical staff, our social workers and nurses and home health aides and spiritual care, we all have to go through a training to really understand the veteran and to understand that we need to be where they are when they come on that program.
Right.
And there's
right.
a lot of things that go on.
Right.
There are veterans that don't want to talk about their service.
Well, there's also so much you don't know.
We don't know.
You know, when I started to talk to people, it was amazing to me how much there was for me to learn about veteran benefits.
Yes.
Right? And things that my ailing dad just did not know and was certainly not capable of even finding out.
Right.
Right? So I really need to be that advocate to dig and find out.
To dig and find out. And we're able to provide that through our social work department.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we do, and we're very, very proud, is that we provide honor salutes and honor recognitions. And I think we're going to be coming back on the other side of this break, and we are going to talk about honor salutes,
great.
Honor recognitions, and how we did this for your dad. Thank you.
Dear hospice family, my husband was given less than 6 months, and he was able to be here for 10.5 months. I think that was because of the care that was given to him by hospice.
Dear hospice of Orange and Sullivan County, my family is so grateful for the care that hospice provided at the end of Mom's life.
I write this letter to give my thanks and gratitude to the people of hospice who were so understanding and caring in my family's time of need.
The Kaplan Family Hospice residence, it was like a breath of fresh air.
I know that God sent these wonderful people to us.
It was one of the best decisions we had ever made.
I think it lengthened his time on earth.
Call Hospice of Orange and Sullivan, providing generations of care in your community. There are others. Make sure to ask for us by name. Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties, your choice. Does matter.
I'd just like people to find out about hospice while there was still time.
Hospice is a plan for living.
Hi, this is your favorite assemblyman, Carl Brabadick.
And your state senator, Mike Martucci.
And we are teaming up for the Friday Roundtable,
where we'll be talking about what's happening in Albany. That's every Friday at 9 a.m.
on radio worth listening to.
WTBQ.
Hello, this is Janice Valentino, host of the Nonprofit Radio. I'm sorry, yes, the Nonprofit Notebook. You see, radio, it's we're live and we make mistakes, and I love it. I love it. The Nonprofit Notebook with Hospice of Orange and Sullivan Counties. And I have Regina Clark with me this morning, and we are talking about our veteran program with hospice and how we care for our veterans and how we provide recognitions and honor salutes. And Regina is now going to talk a little bit about the honor salute and recognition that her dad received, and veteran John O'Dowd.
And it's so funny because I could talk forever about all of these wonderful resources and all of these experiences I had with the hospice social workers, the hospice clinical workers. I mean, number one, and Tiffany, I think, was the social worker.
Yes, Tiffany at the time, yes.
Tiffany told me about the VA hospital in Montrose, and maybe my dad could get on a waiting list there, but who knows? I never even heard of that. But then they told me about this salute, this veteran salute program, and I wasn't really clear what exactly was going to happen.
Right.
And it was communicated to me that, well, you know, a couple of veterans from the neighborhood will show up and come in and say hello to your dad and chat with him and give him a salute. And okay, that sounded okay to me, right? And the next thing you know, all of these cars were lined up and down my street. And I remember my husband saying, what's going on? Is somebody having a party? What's happening? Well, there were at least 15 veterans in my home. And I remember that day so vividly because...
Now, this was in 18? What year was this? I think it was...
2019.
It was 19.
2019.
Okay. So this was definitely... Before we got hit with the pandemic,
yes. Before pandemic.
We had to change things right now.
Yes, before pandemic.
Yes.
And it was a very tough day for my dad. You know, we had one of those recliners for him, and he was really out of it, kind of dozing. And the next thing you know, all these vets were in my house.
Yes.
Thank God my husband was home.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought a gorgeous red, white, and blue Afghan that one of your volunteers had knitted. It was absolutely beautiful.
Yep.
And I was able to kind of wake my dad up a little where he was alert, and he was sitting on the end of the chair, and they saluted him. I mean, the level of respect given to my dad at that moment was just absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
You know, they saluted him, they shook his hand, they gave him a certificate, they gave him the red, white, and blue blanket. And I can't even tell you how much that meant to him. I mean, his whole entire life, my dad passed when he was 91, but his whole life being a veteran, being a part of the United States Air Force, he was a navigator, was one of the most important parts of his life. Like, he was so proud of being a vet. So that moment, literally in my home where he's dying and these gentlemen are saluting, see, you're going to cry. I see you. You're getting teary-eyed over there. But
I just
can't stress enough how wonderful the whole hospice program is and the vets that showed up. They were local gentlemen, Ray Quattrini from Goshen.
Yes,
VFW.
What we had, right, because you lived in Goshen.
Mm-hmm.
I put together the salutes.
Okay.
So what happened was, of course, we got the request for your dad, and so I saw that he lived in Goshen. Mm-hmm. So I said, yeah, let me contact the Goshen American Legion.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
And
wonderful.
We were able, and now I have to tell you that it's taken me and my entire organization a good 5-6 years to put together this program, because I needed to reach out to as many veteran organizations as possible to have them help us provide the salutes. I had to reach out to as many senior centers where we have all of our crafters.
Right, right.
To get them to buy in to provide these red, white, and blue blankets for me. And I have to say that before I was able to go and speak at these senior centers about our veteran program, they really didn't want to hear about hospice before.
Right. Right.
But when I said, I'd like to speak to you about how we take care of veterans at the end of life and ask if you would help us in a very, very important program we're starting, the floodgates opened.
Right.
And I was able in 1 year probably to go and speak to at least 8 to 10.
That's wonderful.
Of these senior centers in Orange and Sullivan County.
Yeah.
And all of these people, they make the red, white, and blue blankets. They're called patriotic blankets. Mm-hmm. They make them very specifically mm-hmm. for our program. Mm-hmm. They're all different. They're whatever they want them to be, as long as they're red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
We now have Hudson Valley quilters.
Okay.
They're making the quilts. So we have quilts. We have Afghans. When our veterans are being recognized and or saluted, it is a community endeavor. Mm-hmm. It's not just mm-hmm. hospice.
Right.
Because we've called people in to help us.
Right.
And it means so much.
It means so much. You know, and every veteran, they all have stories, oh, right? And sure. I mean, I got so sick of listening to my dad, right? My whole life, I'm listening to his stories. But now he has a whole new audience. He has these new veterans who he has never met. And of course, we had his pictures out from
yes,
him in uniform.
Of course.
And he's talking to them about their, you know, his stories. And they're listening. And they're fascinated.
And he woke up, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
And then I'll have to tell you about that blanket because obviously I still have it. It's so
yes.
special. But
yes.
my dad ended up leaving my home and going over to the VA hospital and passed away at the VA hospital, but brought that Afghan with him. You know, that was wrapped around him until the moment he passed. And I
yes.
still have it. It's just lovely. But, you know, the level of respect that's shown with these local groups
yes.
and then the level of respect at the VA hospital just blew me away. It was nothing that I had ever witnessed before in my entire life. I mean,
told me about something that I had never heard about and I wouldn't have, and you didn't know.
I didn't. The last roll call?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So I want you to tell our listeners about that because I, like I said, I didn't know about it.
Okay. So my dad passed at the VA hospital in Montrose, and I went over to pick up his watch. And when I got there, now, I knew everyone because I was there every single day. When I got there, they said, oh, Regina, we're going to do the final roll call. Will you please stay? Give us 15 minutes and we'll put it together. And they had the veterans lined up in the hallway, all holding flags, some in wheelchairs, some with walkers, very disabled. Again, this is a VA hospital,
absolutely.
Right? So all very
mm-hmm.
disabled, elderly men. And they did a roll call. The head nurse, you know, called out the names, and these veterans standing there said, here, here, and then they called my dad's name, and they called his name, his rank, and it was silence. And as soon as they finished the roll call, there was a gentleman standing there with a boombox tucked under his arm, and mm-hmm. he pressed a button, and then taps played.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most emotional thing that had ever happened to me. I didn't expect it, and
yeah.
And after taps played, these gentlemen, one by one, came up to me to just, you know, express their sympathy, to say God bless you, to say we loved your dad. I mean, it was so incredibly
yeah.
touching. And then they presented me with, you know, the flag, you know, that. But they laid an American flag across his bed. So after they actually removed the body, they lay an American flag across
wow.
the bed. They told me that no one is allowed in the room for 24 hours. That American flag lays across the bed. A candle is lit. I mean, the level of respect. And no one even knows that this occurs mm-hmm. at these VA hospitals. And some of them, some of these veterans, they don't have any family members. But it's just, I couldn't get over it. I said to the nursing staff, mm-hmm. you're just so amazing. And they said, oh, Mrs. Clark, we do this for everyone.
Yes.
It, right. See, I happen to be there. I'm the daughter. I happen to be there. But they do this whether or not anyone is there. They just have that level of respect.
It's the respect.
Really
yeah.
incredible. And then, of course, you know, a couple of days later, we're at the wake and the funeral mass with my family. And I'm telling everyone about the final roll call. I even wrote an article about it because it was just so
yes.
impactful
right.
between, you know, the veteran showing up at my home, giving him this blanket, transferring him to a VA hospital, and then the care that they provided and the respect that they provided. And what I learned is we really need to be better advocates for our veterans because, unfortunately, a lot of the veterans are not aware
right.
that all of these programs exist.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And when the veterans come onto hospice care, of course, they're asked right away in when they're, you know, being admitted, and you know, are you a veteran? And of course we want to know, you know, when you served and are you a veteran? And then of course the social workers get right involved and to make sure if they know, do you have these benefits?
Right.
Many of them don't.
They just don't know.
They just don't know. Even for their wives.
Right. Well, I found out after the fact, my dad at some point had been in assisted living, and there were actually veterans benefits that he could have had, but we never looked into them.
Never looked into it.
It just didn't cross our minds.
Right. But it really is, you know, we're living in a very interesting time right now, to say the least, and we're not going to really go into it too much. But it's so important then, today, and in the future that we understand and always respect our veterans, the ones that are in service today, the veterans that hung up their uniforms.
Right.
The veterans who are still active. Well, they're not veterans. They're actively
active military,
still wearing their uniforms.
Right. And the ones that are going, Janice.
yes. And the ones that are going, like your son.
Right.
Who we understand just was accepted to West Point.
Yeah, he's showing up in 26 days, and I think my dad would be so proud of him.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, very exciting.
We're very, very fortunate to be able to have our veterans and certainly the care that we provide, not only to, of course, all of our patients, but also to take care of our veterans.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is the greatest country in the world. We have the greatest people in the world. God bless all of them, right?
Absolutely.
And their families.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for everything you do and the hospice employees do. I mean, some of them were just so much fun to meet and to learn from and their kindness, their care, their compassion. I mean, I can't say enough about the hospice workers, the hospice clinical staff. I mean, the kindness that they showed my dad was absolutely amazing. They're special.
They are. It's a calling. Well, thank you, Regina.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for having me.
And you've been listening to the Nonprofit Notebook for Hospice. And let's remember, there are no mistakes in life, only lessons to be learned. Let's learn well together.